Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited today for several reasons. I've got a full house in the studio this afternoon, and I didn't get to mention this in the lobby, but this is our 100th show today, right now, right here.
Fantastic.
Yes, huh? 100, thank you. 100 shows in 9 months. So the Business Radio X Network has been around for 10 years, but this studio, Phoenix Studio, has only been in existence for 9 months. 100 shows. I'm a tired girl. I've hosted most all of them. We have 9 business owners now who host their own shows out of the studio. So then I just fade to the background and run production. But I'm very happy to let you guys be our 100th show. So let me introduce, because I'm sure our listeners are like, well, who's there? Who's there with you? Let's start off introducing Pamela Slim, award-winning author, speaker, and small business coach. Welcome, Pam.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I am too. And how funny, we connected on LinkedIn a week or two ago.
Yes.
And we're like, hey, what's going on? Nice to meet you. You know how you do on LinkedIn. I said, we got to get you on your show. Check out the website and let us know. And then today I circled back and said, wow, well done. Here she is. And we didn't even book a date yet. We want to thank the PR team that you're working with for that. Also in the studio with us, we have Chris Lee, owner of Purple CRM. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, happy to have you. And you're a longtime Arizona resident.
Born and raised. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. In what part of the valley?
We call it South Scottsdale now.
We do call it that, don't we? There is a distinguishing difference.
Yeah. So Scottsdale Memorial Hospital. And, you know, I moved away and came back, but I still live very near there, just east of there, just east of Old Town.
Wonderful. And where'd you go to high school?
I went to Brophy.
Okay. Brophy grad.
Yep.
Excellent. And Pam, are you from Arizona as well?
I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Me too. Belmont.
I'm from San Anselmo.
How about that? But you've been here...
about 15 years.
15 years. Great. And then also with us today is Clate Mask, CEO and co-founder with Infusionsoft. Welcome, Clate.
Thanks, Karen. Great to be here.
I'm excited to have you as well. And I don't recall if you're Arizona.
You know, pretty much. I was born in Southern California, but moved here when I was one. So I consider myself a native.
That's close enough, right? Yes. Great. Well, we are going to have a fantastic conversation about all things business and would love to just start by having each of you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your business. Pamela, can you start us off?
Sure. I'm a business coach and an author. And about 18 months ago, opened a small business learning laboratory in downtown Mesa. So my joy and passion is helping small businesses grow. And I get to do that in a whole bunch of different ways. Now here locally, of really engaging a lot of the folks that are working to build the leadership capacity, the small business market, and really grow and strengthen our overall economy here in Arizona.
Fantastic. And the name of the learning lab is?
It's called Keh. My husband is Navajo. And so that's a Navajo word that means system of kinship. It's that good feeling you get when you know specifically how it is that you're related. And as we say, we failed. If people walk through the door, if they don't feel welcome, we know we're not meeting our mission. We want everybody who walks in the door to feel welcome, part of the community, because that's really how it is that we think that people are going to grow and do business.
I think we're finding more and more that is really the secret sauce to any business, is taking care of each other and lifting each other up.
That's right.
And that's pretty much been Pam's DNA for the whole time that I've known her.
So. Yeah, you said you two have known each other for a while then.
10 years.
I think so.
Yeah, we met at the one of the early podcamps here. When Pam was doing a presentation on blogging back in the old days. And then we've been friends for a long time. And we actually work together. We mastermind together. We help each other on things. You know, just been great friends for a long time.
How fun is that to see now that part of who you always known her to be is an addition to her business then and building this community. Love it. Great. So Chris, let's have you tell us about Purple CRM.
So we're a small digital marketing agency. We've been around as a company since 2001. We started as a CRM implementer, and we worked with bigger companies with some of the bigger, you know, platforms like Salesforce and SalesLogix. So we did that for a long time. And then over the past few years, we've pivoted more to work with small business because that really brings us a lot more joy than the old type of work that we used to do. And we're kind of in an interesting position where we can leverage all of that experience to really help folks, you know, with more than just a website or more than just some top of funnel type things. So I think that, you know, I often talk about us coming from the bottom of the funnel up. So, you know, if you think of CRM and how that helps support business operations, that's where we started. And then we've worked our way to the top of the funnel from there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And we talked in the lobby that it's got to be satisfying to really be able to spend time not only with the clients that you love to work with, but also the specific area, really hone it in and dial into the piece that you do best.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And, you know, that's something that working with Pam and another colleague of ours, Susan Beyer, over the years clarified is that when you have a small business, you want your small business to be fulfilling. So
you live, breathe, and die by it.
Right.
So it might as well be something you enjoy, right?
Yeah. So we pivoted into that after a lot of years of just working and slogging away.
And I just have to say, I love that Chris said, you know, I was holding back when he was talking about moving from working with bigger, you know, platforms that serve bigger businesses to going more towards small business. And, you know, he said, well, it's because there's a lot more joy in it. And I was holding back because I wanted to say, because it's just more fun. Because it really is. And it's personal, you know, when you're working with business owners where it's their passion, it's their livelihood, it's what they do. There's so much more satisfaction in bringing your skills and expertise to the table to help that business the way Chris is describing than if you're working with marketing director of a large organization that is going to appreciate what you do, but not like appreciate, you know, like in your heart, like really appreciate what you do. So I love that Chris shared that. I hear that consistently from our partners who work with small businesses, that satisfaction, that joy that you get in helping a business owner successfully implement a system, technology, tool, whatever it is. In Chris's case, he's helping them implement CRM software.
Yeah. So let's talk about Infusionsoft. I mean, really, you have to be living under a rock if you're not familiar with Infusionsoft. But for the listeners
I
feel like it is, but you know, I might be biased. So tell us, Clayton, about Infusionsoft.
Sure. So Infusionsoft is it's CRM software, customer relationship management software to help small businesses grow. And our mission really is to simplify growth for millions of small businesses worldwide. And we've been up to it for about 15 years now. But really, it's probably kind of been the last 10 years that we got clear on our mission, that we've really been executing on that mission. And we just love helping small businesses grow. We have a passion to help them be successful. And mostly because we know the dark side. We know how hard it is.
Yes.
When you've put everything on the line, you've put your finances on the line, you've put your reputation on the line, your relationships, your health, I mean, you name it. When you're a business owner, you really put it all on the line for it to be successful. The dark truth is that it's a lot harder and it's fraught with much more failure than we tend to talk about. And so what really drives our company is that passion to help small businesses be successful and to avoid the pitfalls and the failures that unfortunately usually accompany life in small business.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I've been working with Clayton for a long, long time and heard him speak about this. And I never really looked at my own scenario until, you know, recently really started trying to dig in on our why. And I trace it all the way back to the fact that my dad had a restaurant in Old Town Scottsdale for 20 years. And it was one of the finest restaurants in town. And ultimately, he lost it because his customer base aged up, you know, it was fine dining and they didn't market and they didn't bring in new customers. That was the era of Macaroni Grill. So that's like, I don't know, they have a, they're my nemesis, I guess, Macaroni Grill.
Sure.
But then like Morton's and Ruth's Chris came around after the fact. If it would just stayed along for a little bit longer, then I think, you know, it would be like Durant's of today. But yeah, so it's funny that is what has been driving me. And I just didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so interesting in watching, and I know Clayton would probably never say this about himself because also we've had a long time connection. It was, yes. I don't, I can't trace exactly the first time that I met you.
Seven, 8 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah, maybe 7 or 8 years. Yeah. But kind of watching the growth through the ecosystem that we have here in the Phoenix area of seeing Infusionsoft in a much smaller state, mm-hmm. and, you know, getting to know many of the employees there and going to conferences and then just watching the growth as well for kind of the path that it's taken. And one of the things that I think I know that we all share in this real passion for small business is there haven't been historically a lot of people who really stand up for that heartbeat of mm-hmm. the small business owner. Mm-hmm. In some ways, you can have companies where it can be more profitable. It can be an easier sale if you're selling to large companies. And for the record, even though I wrote Escape from Cubicle Nation, I am not anti-corporate. I think all of us can see that there's a need for every size company in an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We all really are interdependent. But there's something that's very, very special about the people who are out there day in and day out working so hard. And one of the studies that I read that was from the Small Business Association in like 2015 was showing that small businesses generate like 53% of the non-farm US GDP mm-hmm. and 73% of all new jobs. Mm-hmm. And so even though the way that we talk about business is often not really glorifying, it's kind of like, oh yeah, you could just have a small business, but really what you want to be is a big mogul. Mm-hmm. It's actually where most people live. And to me, that's the place of potential and possibility as we look at strengthening, mm-hmm. supporting, you know, really creating an indestructible kind of fabric mm-hmm. so that no matter what's happening with our global economy, we have the skills and capacity to be able to pivot, you know, and work together. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing I really appreciate about Clate. And you can tell your side of the story, but in some ways, it's probably a little bit less popular view that you took. Now that you've grown the company and scaled, more people can say, okay, I guess he knew what he was talking about. But I remember those days where you're standing up and really holding the flag saying, the small business owner is really important. I value that. And to me, I really appreciate that. And I believe in the average everyday person who's working hard.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And that really, that's the essence of what you're talking about. That desire to really serve the small business owner is really what I was complimenting Chris for and you as well, Pam, because, you know, in the world of software, it is the norm to move upstream. You know, a software company will start and they'll serve small businesses. But as quick as they can, they'll move upstream to serve larger businesses. And frankly, from a purely financial standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world because you get more dollars per customer. It takes just as long to make that sale or to nurture that relationship of a larger company than it does to do with a small business. In some mm-hmm. cases, it's even more work and more time and effort to serve the small business, but they can't pay in the same ways that larger businesses do. And so, you know, for many years, I was pushed by people to say, move upstream. And I said, I'm either going to die stupid or loyal. Yeah. And people will say, hey, that was really smart. And there are days still where I wonder, by the way, because it's just really hard when you look at what most software companies do. By the way, that's not an announcement. I will tell you, we are staying. I'm very stubborn. I'm very stupid. If that's true, that it is that the riches actually are in the large business, because that's not where our passion is. That's not where our heart is. Our heart is in small business. But I will tell you, and I can tell you after doing this for many, many years, it's harder. It's harder to do that, and it is sometimes less. It's not the most financially or economically valued thing to do.
Yes,
and I've consistently told investors, look, there is a huge opportunity to be earned by serving small business as well, but it's not the quickest path. It's not the shortest, you know, point from A to B. It actually will take a long time. There's a lot of hard work and effort in this. And when you do it well, you serve everybody right. You serve the business owner, you serve your investors, you serve the partners, the customers, everybody in the ecosystem. But it is hard. And I appreciate the fact that people like Chris and like you, Pamela, are out working to serve small businesses, because the normal thing is to move upstream and say, that's too tough. You know, we busted our picks and axes over there. Let's go move upstream. That's not what we're doing in Infusionsoft. It's never been what we've done. We've stayed very loyal and very stubborn, I guess you could say, in the space of small business, but it's because that's where our passion is.
Yeah. And that's where the gems are. That, to me, that is where innovation is happening. That's where economic development is happening. That's where professional development is happening. It's it's essential to do that. So it's important, I think, to begin to look at the importance of it. It's one of the reasons why we started the Small Business Learning Laboratory, because part of my, I'll call it a passion, kind of bordering on obsession within community building, is that one of the things that makes it difficult to be serving that market is where people are just not aware of all the resources that are available.
Right. Agreed.
And very often, I see it every day with either people that show up, you know, through my website or now through my front door. People will literally walk in through the street and they'll say things like, you know, I have no idea how I can get started you know, with my business.
Right.
And now it's maybe, I don't know, almost 10 years since I wrote Escape from Cubicle Nation. But I remember when I wrote that book, and I was writing the proposal, I Googled and there were like 77 million results about how to start a business. Like the information has been out there forever. And that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I think that it takes a really connected community. Mm-hmm. It takes government working with nonprofits, working with for-profits, working with the professional service providers, the freelancers, so that we begin to be more collaborative in how it is that we share with people the resources that are available. And by doing that, obviously, it creates a lot of tangential referral businesses rather than everybody trying to build their own empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's plenty of room for everyone, isn't there? I mean, that's really what I find, what I love so much about Business Radio X. Everybody that comes through here, I can't help but think of how many connections we've already made or how many introductions I can handle for people and other people within the media space. It's really about lifting each other up. And how can we share? How can we collaborate? How can we grow? That's my greatest joy in doing this, because without that, I would be disappointed. I would be feeling alone. I would be feeling frustrated. Can you relate?
No, yeah. And you know, as Pam could talk about, you know, she's done a survey, which, you know, came up with all of those results.
Yeah. Loneliness is probably one of the most common and overlooked aspects of small business ownership. If you're in it, you know. I mean, it's just, it's very
it's
lonely.
Part of it.
You almost don't even realize, you kind of get numb to the loneliness. And then you get around, you start connecting with people and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, this is so nice. But it's very isolating. It's very difficult because people don't, you know, people who aren't business owners don't really understand you. Even those who are business owners, your challenges are your challenges. It's really difficult to talk about them. It's difficult to talk about the realities you're dealing with. You're busy putting on a happy face and trying to make things work. And so that loneliness and that frustration of feeling like you kind of have to do it yourself is, you know, it's really difficult. It's really hard for business owners to overcome that. And that's why the connectedness, the community, the resources, you know, that is so empowering to business owners when they start to find those things, start to tap into them and realize, okay, there's a whole world out here like me. And there are people who are willing to talk about their issues and their challenges they're working on, because it is personal. It's not just a financial statement you're talking about. It's customers. It's your personal life. It's your health. It's your relationships. It's your brother that's working for you. I mean, it's all those things that come together. It's your spouse who doesn't quite understand why you're doing this. All of those things that come together that make it really valuable when you can tap into a group of business owners where there's community and there's support and there's resources to help you.
Absolutely. Community's key. I would also say automation is huge, right? I mean, being able to find resources that help us do things easier, faster, better, and more consistently.
Yeah.
Right? That's where Infusionsoft comes in.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of just hit the very top when I was introducing what Infusionsoft does. It's easy for me to just say, oh, our mission is to simplify growth for millions of small businesses worldwide.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah. What does that actually mean? What it means is it's our work, it's our passion to help small businesses get customers and serve them more effectively so that they can grow their business. And specifically, that's really what customer relationship management is, you know, CRM that we talk about. It's in small business, it's all about delivering personalized service for your customers. Well, the thing that most business owners don't realize is if you don't have a system to do that, and you're relying on your brain and your time, and the reality is you're wearing all these different hats, you start to drop the ball. Things start to slip through the cracks. You just can't keep up with it. And big businesses, they can hire people, they can put systems in place, they can hire more employees. But for small businesses, they don't typically have that kind of a system. It ends up being something where they're just trying to do it themselves. So Infusionsoft, in a nutshell, is the customer management system that small businesses can use to grow their business and do it very efficiently, because automation is really the heart of our software. It's all about automating your process, your experience with your customer, so that it's personal, it's very fast and efficient, and it is repeatable, so that you're actually quite consistent with your customers. Whereas a lot of times, I hate to say it, but as small businesses, we tend to be only as consistent as the amount of time we have that day, right?
Right.
We get so caught up in all the different things that we're doing. So the name of the game is to put a system in place so that you can deliver personalized service and grow your business. That's what Infusionsoft does.
It's been doing it for a long time. But I think one of the things that's interesting right now is that you guys are really working hard to make it easier.
Yeah.
Because Infusionsoft has had those capabilities for the 10 years that we've been working with it. It just was a lot harder to figure out, a lot harder to get stuff in place. And
that's,
I know,
right,
that's been the charter for the past year or two, is to really make it easier.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because Chris said it exactly right. It used to be, just to give you kind of a little history of what happened with Infusionsoft, for the first 3 years or so, we had no ambition of building a big software company. The straight reality was, it was me and my wife's two younger brothers, and we were creating custom software to help small businesses. And for about 3 years, we were trying to get our first product out, but we were really just in the business of trading hours for dollars to do custom software. And at the end of about 3 years, we had a product in place, kind of the first version of Infusionsoft, and we started to see how this CRM system could change the game. And the reason we started to see it was that we started using it ourselves. And when we started to use, because at the very, Karen, at the very heart of this is following up with prospects and customers.
Oh, yes. That Everybody's is, nodding their head in the studio.
That is the heart of the issue. When you don't follow up effectively, you lose customers, you lose opportunities, things slip through the cracks, and you kick yourself because you realize, gosh, I missed this. I had a customer who was a great customer, and they bought product X from us. And now I find out they bought product Y, which we also offer, but they bought it from a competitor.
But they didn't know, right?
They didn't know because I wasn't following up. Or leads, you know, people you met at a trade show or something where they ended up buying something out. They didn't buy your product because you couldn't stay in touch. Or you put a quote out and you didn't have the ability to follow up effectively, and they ended up going with a different vendor. I mean, these follow-up failures are rampant, and they're not a comment on the business owner that's not a good business owner. They just, it's a follow-up process is something that has to be systematized, or like I said, it just kind of falls by the wayside. So at the very heart of what we do is automating follow-up in a very personalized way. And we've, like Chris said, we've been able to do that for a long time. But what happened was, after doing the custom work and then creating that capability ourselves, we began to use it, and we saw what a game changer it was in our sales and marketing process. And we started to catch a vision that was much bigger than our early vision of, hey, we're going to build this up and sell it and pay off all our debts and have a little financial freedom. We decided, no, there was a really big opportunity. And so that was about four or five years into the business. We created a 10-year, we called it our Everest mission that we were on. And for 10 years, it was really about creating the leading sales and marketing software for small business. And we did that. And we created this very powerful system for small businesses to do this this automated follow-up in a very personalized way. But as Chris said, it was, you kind of had to be a ninja or hire a ninja to help you do it.
I remember. Fortunately, yes. I had some ninjas on my team in my former business.
Yes. And so, but frankly, that was consistent with that Everest mission. It was all about create the category, be the leader in sales and marketing automation. And what we really were doing is we were providing a power tool to the people that really wanted that sophistication and power. Well, then as we got toward the end of that 10-year mission, which concluded at the end of 2016, we said, okay, we're just barely scratching the surface. We don't feel like we've even come close to accomplishing what we want to do for small businesses. So we set out on the new mission, which we refer to now as our Mars mission, and that goes till the end of 2030. But that mission is all about, as you heard me say earlier, it's to simplify growth for millions of small businesses worldwide. And that mission to simplify growth for small businesses is what we obsess about. And I will be honest in saying that's not what we obsessed about for that first 10 years. We obsessed about the power and the capability. And
well, you had to do it in that order, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't have gone to this other epic goal and focus and mission without having the robust foundation underneath
it. I think that's probably right. And now it's all about taking that power and making it much easier for people to put that in place. And there's some stuff that I'm just like, busting at the seams. I'm so excited about that's coming here in the next few months. It's a real major advance. People will see that and go, wow, that's Infusionsoft. And it's really cool. It's really exciting because it makes the power accessible to a much larger audience of small businesses that frankly just they didn't care about the power and the sophistication enough to get through the learning curve. And you know, shame on us for making them get through that learning curve. We're changing that. And that will be coming out, rolling out to the market here in the next few months.
And, you know, there's one thing to me that's a big driver, because often when we start to talk about automation, that there are people who would say, you know, but that's impersonal. And, you know, you begin to automate everything about your business. And there's a whole movement of people. I kind of jokingly say, but not really jokingly, many people will get business advice of like, as quickly as you can, get as far away as possible from customers. Like, God forbid they ever, you know, you ever interface with customers. Just charge them more and more money for access to you, so that eventually you're just sitting by yourself in your living room, living
back
a great
in the cubicle.
Life. Right, back in the cubicle.
Sense, yeah.
And to me, you know, it's funny because I'm actually in business because I love people. I'm a coach through and through. I always want to be working with people, and I love that personal interaction. When you have efficient automation, and I've been an Infusionsoft customer a long time, probably 8 years, 8 or 9 years, that actually it then allows you to be able to do some of the personal follow-ups.
Yes,
and it was really funny. The other day, I had sent out a message to my newsletter list and obviously have many people on there. One of the things I love is one of my newsletter readers is in Bhutan in the other side of the world. And every single time that I write a newsletter, they write back a very thoughtful response of like, thank you so much for writing to me. And here's my thought. And it's the feeling that's so personal and amazing. Yeah. If it really feels personal to that person. Mm-hmm. For somebody else, I was promoting a new program that I'm delivering, and I had my phone number on there. And so my phone rang and I answered the phone and they were shocked. It was like, oh my God, it's you. Like, it's not your team. It's not somebody else. And I was like, no, it's me. Like, this is my business. If you have questions about the program, I would love to answer them. That to me is what you want from automating the business processes. And I'm lucky enough in that I have Chris that's an expert whenever it is that we're really wanting to customize things. And he puts his amazing operational brain on how we can make the back end of the business as effective as possible so that people get the information they need, so that when you need and want that personal contact, you can have time to do it. And to me, that's a really important distinction. People are in business for different reasons. I remember a study that you all did a number of years ago of there are people who are passionate creators who just love to create stuff. Yeah. They're, you know, legacy builders, and people who just want freedom seekers, right? Yep. That just want to, again, be away from their business and just make money in their sleep. I mean, making money in your sleep is kind of a good thing.
I
actually think I would like to make some
Let's
myself.
Let's not denigrate that one too much.
No, that's a good thing. But for people who really care about others, it's a way to actually humanize your business more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's, I'm glad you bring up the point about automation. I mean, we've all experienced the joys of automation, of what it can do. And, you know, I experienced it when we began using our software years ago. And then I've just, you know, I experience it again and again and again as I see our customers and they talk to me about what they're doing with the software. But I think there's a real, there's kind of a stigma around automation if you don't understand it. And, you know, the thing that really kind of like busted through that stigma once and for all, for me anyway, was last year we did a really intense research project around, as we kind of thought about this next stage of the market that we're trying to serve with small businesses. We wanted to kind of get out of the power user of Infusionsoft and a lot of the things we would consistently hear. So we did a really broad research project, and it was with existing customers, prospects, people who knew about Infusionsoft. But then we also looked at a bunch of people who didn't know anything about Infusionsoft. Mm. But what came back very consistently was that in small business, what people wanted to do more than anything else was deliver a great personalized experience.
Consistently.
Yes, consistently. And they wanted to distinguish themselves from larger brands, larger companies, and pride themselves on delivering great personalized service. And then to my surprise, our customer base articulated that as the number one benefit that they received from Infusionsoft. Because we looked at it as automating follow-up, being able to, you know, as you were describing, Pam, being able to, you know, efficiently get a lot of communication done. And it is done in a personalized way. But it's the combination of that personalization with the automated follow-up, as well as what it frees you up to be able to do, that the real benefit that they were pointing out was it enables me to deliver personalized service on a bigger scale. It kind of multiplies me so that I can get a lot more done and deliver that personal experience. So it really resonated with me because I know, and we all know that small business is personal. That's what it's all about. It's personal to you. It's personal to your customer. And so that's where I really kind of once and for all in my mind thought, we don't need to worry about the naysayers of automation because it's literally right. The antithesis of that the software makes possible. It's that personalized experience, both through the software and then how it frees you up because you don't have to spend your time on a bunch of those manual tasks and you can do other things in a more personalized way.
Perfect. Chris, I'm curious. You've been an Infusionsoft partner for how long? Did you already share how long?
Since the beginning. So since I think 2008.
Yeah.
Clayton, his folks actually brought us in to help write the training curriculum for Infusionsoft and launch the partner channel. So we taught the first 7 partner certification courses for them.
Yep.
So when you hear Clayton talk about where obviously they're headed and really just how things have continued to stay true to the core mission, but also evolved based on, you know, what people need, small business owners need, what has your experience been and what has you continue to show up and be part of the Infusionsoft team?
I mean, I think a great thing, like Pam said, is just taking a stand for small business. They've been saying that for a long time when other people weren't. You know, I remember, you know, them talking about true small business and just that being a focus. And with us working with bigger customers, it took us a while to realize that's really where we wanted to serve. So they've been that kind of beacon, you know, all these years. And it's been great for me. So this year we had a PartnerCon, which is Infusionsoft's partner conference. And I remember going up to Clayt afterwards and with me being around since the very beginning, I was just so excited that I told him that I think this was the most excited that I had been since I ever, you know, engaged with them. And I could just see the direction of the company. I could see the difference of being partner focused, and I could see them just walking their talk over the past year, 2 years, you know, of development. And then they were also giving all these great trainings for partners to help them be more successful. And a lot of that was around narrowing what the partners do. So, you know, with automation, it's super hard if you do everything, you know? So one of the keys to be able to automate well is to be very focused, to have a focused product. And that way you can automate the delivery of that. You can automate the lead generation of that. And they were really teaching their partners, this is the way to do it. This is the way you can be most successful. And along with that, I think many of us talk to our clients and we spread that message as well. It's, you know, when we can be very narrow and very focused on what we do best, who our ideal customer is, you know, we can all be so much more effective and leveraged. You know, we can leverage our efforts. So for me, it's been great that they've always been there, you know, holding the flag. But then just even the recent performance of the company and the speed of feature development and the features that they're focused on, it just leaves me super excited.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me when I think about really what you want in a company ecosystem. So even looking at leadership and then you have partners and you have customers.
Mm-hmm. Back to the community
which
again.
We're all represented right here in the room. Yeah. But I've known Chris for a long time. And if he does not agree with something, he will tell you. That's one of the reasons why I actually like to work with him.
Yes.
Because even though, you know, when you're in business, what you want to hear is everybody is happy with everything all the time, which is never true. Right. And especially where you have people that might have competing needs, you have customers that have different needs.
Yep.
And really, I think what we, the way we need to be with each other, and that's really the way I see it. I'm kind of a weirdo in some ways where I'm a very loyal customer. So I like to build a relationship with a company, to know people who work there. And that to me over time is actually more important in the long run of like feeling like I'm part of making the company stronger.
Yeah.
That works where you have this open kind of communication where you're able to hear the feedback that comes from different places, right? And able to discern and recognize that each person is going to be advocating for a different, you know, piece of the experience.
Yeah.
One of the challenges I think for anybody in business is that very often the easiest thing to market is the instant success, right? Like I, you know, always say, if I just would say, you know, I promise that you'll make six figures within 2 months, guaranteed, you know, I would be a temporary millionaire. Temporary is the key because it's not as easy as that.
Right.
But it is what we want when it is that we're building companies or we're building really these economic communities is where we're able to have that kind of communication with each other, where we're able to say, you know what, this part really is not working. We need to fix this, right? I know that it might be easy to sell this product to people with this kind of messaging, but then when I'm the person, maybe as a partner, as Chris is, who's implementing it, these are the kinds of things that we're finding.
Right.
And it is not easy. It's probably the, you know, the biggest challenge I imagine as a leader who does care about what's happening with people is you need to hear that feedback. You need to discern what's important and then to synthesize it into a focus that's going to make the most sense for the growth of the company. But, you know, it's one of the things that I appreciate about Chris is...
And I did give Clay feedback like that along that 10-year path. You know, I mean, there were times when I personally didn't agree with some of the direction. And the thing that's the most exciting, though, is the walking the talk. Because, you know, everybody can say nice things and tell you what you want to hear. And to me, that really doesn't mean much. But when you can see the demonstrated actions and the investment and where that goes and the focus of the company through what it ships, well, then that's different.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think your point, Pam, about it's really an interesting thing because there's a level, as a business owner, we all have this certain level we operate at where we want to hear all the nice stuff. But it's not what drives progress. It's not what actually works to create enduring success. We have to hear the hard part. We have to hear the part that that superficial aspect of us or part of us doesn't want to hear. So when you get past that superficial part and you really want to hear the parts of where we're not doing well, that's really powerful, especially if, like you said, we can synthesize it. You know, and I'm saying this for everybody's business here, because we tend to want to clout or push aside the negative feedback, but that's really, especially when it comes with a lot of passion, that's where the gems are, because these are, you know, when people are passionate in giving you feedback, they want it to work for them. It's when they're not giving you anything and they're, you know, that's what you actually don't want to hear, because when you're getting no feedback that way, it's they're not passionate. You know, you want the people that are both passionate about what's going really well and passionate about what's not going well, and then take that and synthesize it into actionable steps that you can take to improve the customer experience. And yeah, Chris is right. There were times over, you know, over our journey where we were off in different ways, and you've got to listen to your customers and your partners and figure out, okay, how do we, you know, chart the course that's going to serve the most, you know, the largest number of customers. And you're not going to be able to serve everybody. There's going to be people who want the button to be purple and it just, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And so, you know,
well,
I use purple.
That was Chris.
Was that what you were upset about, Chris, that the button
that
wasn't
was one
purple?
Of my big issues. Exactly.
Have you let that go? Can we move on?
But you kind of have to, especially when you're serving hundreds of thousands of people, you've got to find the course that's going to work for the, you know, the large numbers. And that's hard, because that means sometimes you have to have the strength to, as the leader, to say, we won't be doing that. And I know that would be valuable to you. And it's not that it's a useless feature. It's just that that's not what we need to be doing for the majority of our customers. And so that sometimes means you're going to lose a customer who wanted that specific thing. And it, you know, that's what matters to them the most. So it is tough, but you know, I think the thing that Chris saw at our partner event last year is that we really took a step back and said, what do we need to do to serve the, you know, to be able to serve millions of small businesses? How are we going to do that? And we came to the conclusion a year and a half ago or so that that wasn't going to happen without a really strong partner strategy at the core of what we do, that it was going to be partners that served the customers to really create that those kinds of numbers that we could impact. And so, you know, it wasn't like we had never woken up to that idea, but it's one thing to have that concept and have your business built around services and other things that you do that are maybe conflicting with the partner's ecosystem. And it's another thing to push all of those financial considerations aside and say, okay, if that's the vision of where we're going to serve millions, and we know we're going to simplify dramatically, which, by the way, could be a threat to some partners who say, oh, well, if you're going to simplify it a bunch, then maybe I'm not going to be needed, right? So, you know, and what we had to help them see was, no, we're going to simplify to make your lives better and make customers' lives better. But your expertise, your skill, what you bring to the table, if channeled the right way and focused on a niche, can really create a great business for you that's much more efficient, much more scalable, much more, you know, much more fulfilling, because you're not having to recreate the wheel with each customer that you serve. So we had to kind of help. We had to get to where we could see it clearly. We had to create the program around it. And literally, we launched it over a year ago at the beginning of 2017, which coincided with the launch of our Mars mission. And then all through 2017, we were executing on that partner strategy. And I think by November, partners started to go, okay,
I get it.
We think we might actually believe you.
Yeah. Chris, for you as well, even though you've been there since the beginning, were you just holding on and saying, I can feel this? Was it about November, you think, when it gelled?
So they didn't really talk about it a ton. You know, the one thing that we saw over the past year or so is we saw a lot more feature releases. So they were improving the product. They were improving the platform.
Yep.
And, you know, moving those resources into that allowed them to do that. But when we had our partner conference, they basically just showed us, they gave us a whole bunch more releases at the time. So I, again, being in CRM forever, I've been to a zillion partner conferences of different platforms, right?
Yeah.
I remember some of the early ones where, you know, the demos were screenshot demos where they were all PowerPoint slides where you click on the right place on a slide and it makes it look like you have application software that's doing right. something, right? So whatever.
It's a nice trick we use.
Yeah. So I'm just, it wasn't Infusionsoft. But so I'm just skeptical. And then when someone just delivers, I mean, that takes all the doubt, you know, away.
And that's what you saw.
So yeah. It's
the magic words of, and it's in your app right now.
Yeah.
It had to feel great, not only on your end, Clay, yes. you and your team, but on the partner end, just to be like, wow.
It's like, you know, Salesforce, as huge as they are, we were a Salesforce partner for a long time, and they talk about a new feature, a new acquisition, and then you'd still be waiting for it at the next conference the next year.
But this was bam.
But it's already done. You have it. And yeah, and all of the features lined up with that strategy that they were telling us, you know, so everything was in alignment and stuff was getting done, stuff was launched. And it was, I just remember I was so excited. It was very cool. So
was it like, and you get a car and you get a car? Like
that. So you're using the Partner Edition now. I mean, can I call it that? It's a Partner Edition?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we introduced in November. What happened was, as we were doing our partner strategy work, we heard, you know, we talked to literally for about 4 or 5 months. My full time job was listening to partners, and this was kind of the second half of 2016, and then we hired an exec to take the partner program to be on the executive team, and he kind of took the raw research I had done, and then really got with the teams and put together an awesome program that we launched at the beginning of 2017. But part of what we heard in that research was, first and foremost, it's about product progress. That's what we care about, progress in the product, because we've put our livelihoods on this, at stake here to make sure that the product is successful and it's superior.
So, I mean, that's the benefit to people who don't care about partners, whatever. They're like, why do you keep talking about partners? But the benefit is that you guys focused on the software and new features that help all of the customers get rolled out much more quickly.
That's right. And maybe the implication there that Chris knows is we pulled back from the services we offered. And we literally said, look, we're to our partner community, we're going to create the product. You're going to provide the services. Together, we'll help small businesses succeed. And that was a nice thing to say, but to execute all last year and for people to start to see that. And it was, by the way, it was hard because we had to let go of a bunch of people, a bunch of employees who were doing services. This is, I mean, these are not easy decisions to make. So not only are you saying, oh yeah, we're going to just, you know, dismiss those millions of dollars of service revenue that we bring in, you know, investors like that, you know, yeah. It helps the company to be successful. We're also going to let go of a bunch of jobs that were at stake here. Good, you know, good longtime friends of the company that have been inside the business. And those are hard decisions. But what we were doing is we were saying, partners, you're going to drive the service. We're going to focus on the product. And, you know, frankly, until the beginning of this new Mars mission, where it's all about simplifying growth for millions of small businesses worldwide, we didn't have sufficient product focus. We were trying to do the service work. We were working really hard at culture and all those things are important. But to really impact small businesses on a massive scale, it's about product. And product empowers the partners. It empowers customers, like Chris said. And that's, you know, that was a hard transition to make. But now every month that goes by, we're building momentum around that. And by the way, we continue to make decisions that are doubling down on that. Things like not doing Icon, which was like, oh my gosh, this major thing. We love Icon and I love it. But it was time to retire that so we could focus more on the product and our partners and multiply success for many, many more small businesses who can't afford to get on a plane and come spend a week with us to get trained, but need that kind of on-demand training at their fingertips wherever they are in the world. So those types of decisions, those are hard decisions to make, but they're grounded in our mission and what we're trying to do in terms of the product and our partner strategy. And so anyway, we were really focused that way. And at the PartnerCon, we put the partner edition out. That was one of the things because partners had told us, look, product is most important. And for us to be able to serve more customers, we need to be able to see how those customers are doing, see how their campaigns are performing. What's the health of those customers? And so we gave them an edition of the software that's specialized for our partners to help them do that. And that was one of the things that we introduced.
Yeah, which is great. So now we can look at our customers through that, you know, interface and see like a health score of how they're doing, how you know, things are going within their application. And I mean, that's just huge to be able to have that insight because before, you know, you'd have to go in one by one, try to inspect things, see if you could figure it out. But now
it's there for you.
Yeah, there's a dashboard that gives you indicators. And then from there, you can go dig in and there's a lot more information as well. So, I mean, it's everything is aligned, which is very cool.
And, you know, on the community side, I've always been fascinated. It was one of the main things that I really advocated for in Escape from Cubicle Nation when I was doing that work for so long. I'm a former management consultant. So the first 10 years of my business, I was consulting to large companies. And one of the things that I talked about was creating a mafia culture where it's like, as long as you're in the family, then you're well-respected, right? And as soon as you leave, if you choose to leave, then you're forever vilified. And the problem with that, obviously, it comes from a different era where people did tend to stay for a very long time. The problem with that, of course, is with the rapid shifts that we have in business and how we do have to pivot and change based on what's the right thing for a healthy business model, and also what's the healthy thing for the current economy we have, is that there are going to be times where you make these very difficult choices. Mm-hmm. The way that you run a business and the way that you're connected with an ecosystem is what I want for all people who are leading companies that have to make that decision, is that you know that there now are places where people can come in order to have a rich opportunity for putting their skills and their ingredients to work.
Right.
It's funny, like for me, I'm like, there's many people that I work with on a daily basis as creative freelancers that used to work at Infusionsoft. Mm-hmm. And now they come from that body of knowledge of really understanding the business and understanding the ecosystem.
Right.
And to me, that's part of what it is that we want, is we want to have this really rich, interconnected community. So that
leveled up, right?
Right.
Everybody's been leveled up.
Exactly. And and where you have it, it's where we end up as a community really taking care of each other. And it's where you can know, okay, you know, I remember the most difficult conversations I've ever had in my life as a consultant would be sitting across the table from somebody who had been a long-term employee. And when I was doing that work really more in the early 2000s, I think people were a lot less prepared for knowing that it's going to happen. It still happens sometimes where people are just shocked of the fact that that could happen. But what I want for everybody is that they know that they are capable of taking care of themselves, that they have resources in order to start a business. And it's the way that we really can be integrated in business. So, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting components to kind of what I'm seeing now on the community level, looking right now in downtown Mesa with a lot of things that we're doing on a local basis, which to me is just a microcosm. I just say, you know, we're on Main Street everywhere. I kind of like the fact that I'm like a business coach on Main Street because it just sounds like it's kind of catchy.
Right.
But if you look across the country, you know, this is happening in every community everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that we're connected with each other, the more that we're building capacity of the employees when they're working for us and then making a great path, either if people choose to leave, right? If there's an organizational restructure, this is a way then we can kind of really strengthen the economy for all. And it takes us away from just saying, my only success is if my company is successful.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, there's something that both you and Chris said here in the last few minutes that I think is really important for entrepreneurs, business owners that are kind of getting going. If I look back over, you know, the last 15 years and kind of think about the evolution of Infusionsoft, and if I look at success, you know, other companies out there that have been successful in that early entrepreneurial stage, there's a really interesting thing that I think is sometimes overlooked, but you've both made reference to it. And it's really about specialization. It's about, you know, the old phrase of there's riches in niches. It's so cliche, but it's just true.
It's still true.
And a lot of times business owners, when you hang out your shingle, you just get started. You're willing to kind of do anything to keep the lights on. For everybody. And the reality is there's a certain harsh reality that you have to keep the lights on. But if you don't intentionally fight against the tendency to get the wrong kinds of business coming in. In other words, if you don't get intentional about what's the right kind of customer, the right kind of business, the right kind of narrowing of your focus, if you don't do that, then you end up just sort of getting whipped about by every kind of customer and every kind of opportunity that's available to you. And so, you know, I think about that successful entrepreneurial journey, and it's very intentional. It's very focused. And sometimes it's actually a little counterintuitive because you're saying no to things that you kind of like naturally want to do because it's dollars, it's revenue. You got to keep the lights on. You got to pay for your kids' braces. You know, you have things you're trying to do. But, you know, when we talked to the partners at PartnerCon, and Chris mentioned this, and when partners started to kind of catch the vision, it's really about getting specialized. And that's true of whether you are a partner in the Infusionsoft ecosystem or you're a former employee of a company like Infusionsoft or some other that goes out and starts something, you really want to get that focus. And I know, Pamela, this is a big thing for you as you advise entrepreneurs, helping them to get clear on their focus so that they can say no to the wrong stuff. And it's a counterintuitive thing, but I just, you know, for listeners out there that are in that stage where they're like, yeah, but it's revenue that I need, you know, I got to take that business. There's a better yes coming right around the corner if you can just say no to this one right now. And I know that's tough to do, but I just wanted to urge entrepreneurs to do that because it really is one of the most critical traits of successful entrepreneurs that they say no to stuff that's kind of on the periphery and they're constantly pushing away things and like getting to the more pure and pure core of who they are and what they offer. That's where the real benefit and win comes.
A lot of people's audience definition is somebody has a pulse and a credit card.
Yeah, right.
Well, and what's powerful about that, I think about this as a connector, because I live my life trying to figure out who I can refer business to. It's just, it brings me great innate joy, as Malcolm Gladwell talked about in The Tipping Point.
Mm-hmm.
When you are unclear, when you say, hey, I'll help automate any business in any area of business, it's really hard to be able to refer business that way. As Chris has been doing some work lately in really focusing on real estate and having this very specific kind of integrated offering that's for realtors where they have an integrated website and Infusionsoft that's in there that's running the business and you have, you know, funnels that are built in. all of a sudden now I'm listening. Where anybody yes. says, oh, I'm a new realtor, the first person I'm going to think about is Chris.
Helps you help him.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was teaching a class on marketing called Giant Client Magnet. And I have one of my clients who's wonderful in the UK who does podcast consulting. His name is Rob Lawrence. And I was saying, like, make sure that you're clear about what you do to everybody in your life and do these tiny marketing actions or TMAs. Mm-hmm. And so he came back the next week and he said, I actually told my sister in a very clear way what I did for the first time. And she referred
and
me
she
a client.
Got it.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's
his
what
sister.
You do.
right. After all these years.
That's right. And yes. so there's knowing yourself what the focus is so you mm-hmm. can develop mastery in your craft, but it's also realizing that all of your friends and people around you, when they have a clear idea of what you do, can be referring business to you.
That's
and
right.
it's a huge untapped resource for a
yeah.
lot of people.
For me, it's one of the hugest things, just because, you know, you can't market. We do everything. It's impossible. And I don't know. I just hope that people don't have to learn it over the course of 10 or 15 years. You know, I mean, when we did our first website, We were at a junction with CRM. Are we gonna be sales logic super specific? Because we had like half the executive team that was part of our company at that time. We had all of the people of all these great positions. Or are we gonna be, oh, we'll do whatever CRM and we'll be unbiased? And we went the other way. So we did Salesforce and sales logics and Microsoft Dynamics, CRM and a whole bunch more. And it was just, it's impossible to market. Mm-hmm. And it took us so many years to come back from that, you know, and we've all heard people talking about positioning and things like that. For me, that's like the number one thing that I would try to impart to a new entrepreneur is that focus or that specialization is truly the key.
And with this partner focus on behalf of Infusionsoft, you get to extend, what I'm hearing is you get to extend that on to the customers you work with and help them get more targeted.
Definitely.
Yeah. Keep it personalized, keep it streamlined, and be really clear about who you're serving.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's part of what we do. So, you know, we have a whole methodology. We're a digital marketer certified partner too, but it all starts with who's your ideal client and what are the main problems that you solve for them. And then everything flows from there. If you don't know that, you can't build funnels. You can't, you know, build a follow-up automation. You can't build marketing automation. So it all starts with that specialization. And the tighter it gets, the easier it is to spread that message.
And the more fun, I would imagine, to
yes.
go back to fun, how we opened, right? Yeah. How do you think that the way that Infusionsoft is moving now with the momentum that they have, how has it best helped serve your customers in the last, you know, 5 to 6 months?
Well, for us, you know, the partner edition with just that dashboard is huge, just to give us the insight into where people are.
To know where to tweak and go in and...
Yeah, who's struggling? Yeah. Who needs help? You know, who's just killing it that, you know, you can touch base with, but they're really doing really well. I mean, that's huge. And then there have also been some big feature, you know, releases. So, you know, Infusionsoft just released a landing page functionality, which
wow.
is great. I mean, there used to be whole platforms that filled that gap.
Yep.
You know, like with lead pages.
Because we did a really bad job of it.
Well, I mean, it's funny, and there's other alternatives out there now, but I was giving I do the user group at Infusionsoft, and I was giving a session on landing pages, and lead pages was like the King Kong of it, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to go demo that along with everything else. All of my customers that previously had lead pages accounts, nobody had one anymore. So yeah, there used to be like this huge need for that. And now there's other solutions that help with that. And then Infusionsoft solution is just getting better day by day. So I mean, for me, I'm just looking forward to the feature iteration. So, you know, we should have order forms and e-commerce stuff mm-hmm. on the roadmap. So
that was a little plug.
I was
going to
notice that.
Yeah.
He leaned in. He looked at Clayt.
Lean in with look at Clayt. Yeah. So I'm excited about just the different product functionality that will be released to help customers.
And I'll say it as a customer, but also somebody who advises many, many business owners is anything we can do to simplify the process
yes.
is essential.
Yeah.
Because people now more than ever, I look back, I started 23 years ago, didn't have any idea what I was doing, but nobody in the internet, there wasn't even, well, the internet was there, but no, there weren't blogs, there was no social media. So I had no idea that I was making it up as I went. And in some ways, that was very freeing. Now, people are inundated with information about all the things they think they should be doing. Mm-hmm. And a big part of what I often do at the beginning of a client engagement is just to help to clear the decks and simplify and say, wait a minute, we don't need to worry about all the things that are going to happen down the road. Let's first just get really clear about what kind of functionality do you need right now. Having tools that people can easily implement that don't require a deep technical background are an essential part of how it is that we can get people off and launched. And it's just a very interesting phenomenon now that's very different, I think, because there is so much information. On one hand, we should say, well, it should be easier than ever. Actually, it's not, because then people get confused. They have too many options. Mm-hmm. So anything we can do to simplify the process, to help people focus on what's the essential. And to me, what's really powerful is where you can be seeing examples of possibilities. I remember, you know, going to so many icons and looking at examples of people who might be on stage for, like, you know, the marketer of the year, or the icon, you know, it would just totally blow my mind. There was somebody who I met at one of the conferences who said she had a business that was creating the runners that you use for events or for weddings, right? I think she was one of the candidates.
Yep.
And it was like a $10 million a year business. And I was sitting there going, what? Wow. Like, how in the world is that a $10 million a year business? But she was talking about just the many, many ways that she had automated what it is that she did. You know, and those things are so cool. And if you're earlier in business or you're earlier in the automation journey, you have to really start with what is the most simple. Yeah. And once people get that under their feet, then they're ready to be building the next stage. Yes. And that to me is the encouraging part, because I run into people every day who want to do all the right things, but they just get totally overwhelmed with the details.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Wow, we could talk forever. Unfortunately, I know each of you need to get back to your respective businesses. So let's end up with one last question as we close out today's show. What are the biggest lessons you've learned when it comes to taking your business from startup, which each of you have done, to where you are today? Can you share one of your greatest lessons? Clay, can we start with you?
Sure. One of them is around specialization and really, you know, finding your niche and being intentional about that. You know, I'm going to go a little different direction, though. I think that one of the critical things that business owners have to do is spend time clearing all of the clutter and all the negativity out of their minds. I know this isn't, you know, when Scott and I wrote Conquer the Chaos, we devoted a, you know, a whole section of the book on these mindset strategies, because you can get all of the system strategies in place, but if what's between your ears is messed up, you just can't get through the negativity that hits you as a business owner when you start the company. It comes from so many different directions. You mess up with your products and services. You hear it from customers. You hear it from, you know, friends and family members who wish you well but just want you to get a real job. You know, you hear so much of the negativity that if you don't figure out strategies on how to stay on top of that, you'll take yourself out. And that is, I see it again and again and again with business owners. And they'll point to a sales problem or a product problem that was the reason why the business, why the company went under. But it's really not. It's really a mindset problem. And if you can get through those mindset issues, you can accomplish anything. You'll get the systems in place. You'll get the people in place. You'll get the right leaders. But it starts with you as the leader and owner of the company. And so I would say work on your mindset. You know, in the first, there are three chapters of Conquer the Chaos that talk about this. And so I would say, when I look at our business and I look at other successful entrepreneurs, they are tough-minded. Mm. And by that, I don't mean they're rough. I don't mean that they're uncaring. I don't mean that in any way. It's that they are disciplined in the way they think, and they don't allow all of the stuff around them to take them down.
Hmm. Well said. Pamela, Chris, biggest lessons learned as you've moved from startup, you know, all those years ago to today, or even a piece of advice that you'd have for a business owner?
Yeah, to me, it's a critical thing. I was just talking with a client about it today, and that is, we were talking about ethics in business and how it is that, what are some early indicators as you're partnering with people to figure out where really their ethics are. And one of the things that I was talking about with her is that it's a big red flag if when you're talking with somebody about their business, they don't talk about their customers. If really what they're talking about is their sales projections and all their marketing strategies, and 100% of the conversation in the business is only about the things that are related to bringing in money to the company. I'm not saying that's not important, because it is. And your business heartbeat is about caring so deeply and forming a deep connection with that customer. So companies that I consider great are those that really care about that. They center the customer experience. It summarizes a lot of what we've talked about here today. It's not just about making a bunch of money. It's about making sure that you create a great experience and remove obstacles for the customers that you care about.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. I've said my thing about specialization. So I'll kind of dovetail that with some just marketing advice. You know, when you talk about stuff, you shouldn't be talking about yourself as a small business. You know, you want to be talking about your ideal client. You want to be talking about them and their problems. So your marketing, your website, you know, your content out there should be really talking to those people. They're the ones that are important for your business. Nobody really cares about, you know, our own story so much. They care about their own problems and how we can help them with those problems.
Very, very true. I have been just thrilled to have each of you here today in the studio celebrating our 100th broadcast, and welcome you each back again another time when you have more stories and more insight to share, which means tomorrow we could do this together again. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some leans right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.